Mark chapter 10. We'll be looking, beginning with verse 46, an event that happened in the ministry of our Lord and Savior that has some very important teachings that we need to learn. Everything that our Lord did was for a purpose and to teach us and to help us day by day as we live. And as we, to many of you, this will be a familiar passage, but I want you to stop and think about it. As we look at this, it's about a blind man, a beggar. Now think about a beggar in relation to the rest of the population and all that's going on in society. A beggar is not one of the up-and-ups. A beggar is one that depends on others. And he's trying to play on the mercy of others, asking for help and need, so he doesn't have much really to take care of himself, just a matter of what comes in and what he has. So that he does has is not the best. And many times it's not one that you'd want to be around and have fellowship with very much, unless you know the individual personally. We have many that are in this class and category of their lives and that need help from God. And so we find in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, and they came to Jericho. And he went out of Jericho with his disciples, talking about Jesus. And a great multitude of people, number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And so we have a name for this beggar. We have Bartimaeus, and here he is sitting, needing help. And as he's sitting there, Jesus comes by. Now, verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, he calleth for thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. As we look at the characters that are involved in this particular event in the ministry of Jesus, we have Bartimaeus. Now, he was blind in this, that he could not help himself very well. He didn't have the schooling or the training that we have today for people that are handicapped, especially for the blind, that we find ways that they can live a life with that handicap. But this man didn't have that advantage of his time. And so he was helpless and blind. Blind is symbolic of being lost. If you'll keep your finger there in Mark and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. We have a lot of people that have 20/20 vision, but they're blind spiritually. They're blind in knowing how to live and how to get along in this world. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Here we find that the Bible is teaching us that we can be spiritually blind, and we can be blind as far as knowing what is going on around about us. Last Sunday night, we talked about Israel and some of the prophecies that we see being fulfilled in our day and what God is doing with the nations, just as he said he would do. And his word is true and will be kept. But there are a lot of people who are blind to these things. They cannot see, nor do they understand what is going on. And what a shame. Not only do we have those that are lost, we have some Christians that are blind. When you get away from the Word of God and you're not studying and praying as you should, you're going to be blind to things that are going on about you. not only what God is doing, but even what you should do in this, and have need of sight from our Lord. But Bartimaeus, he's blind, and he cannot help himself. Now, what would he need to do? Well, we said surely we'd need eyesight, but now most of them know and realize that no one's going to be able to give him sight in that, but yet he heard about Jesus. Now, we don't know what all that he heard about Jesus, but he, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth passing away, then he began to raise his voice. He knew that this man, Jesus, who claims to be the Son of God, has performed miracles and could help him and be a blessing to his life. Now, normally, he would ask someone, if they ask you, what can I do for you? Well, you can provide some means whereby I can have some food. You can give me some money, or you can give me some food and help me as I live day by day, or give me some clothes that I might be able to wear and have when the weather changes and all of those things. And so we've got Bartimaeus being blind, and mainly we know that this is in relationship to being lost. Then we have Jesus of Nazareth. Ah, what a Savior. Gentle and kind and yet firm, realizing the needs of our people. And Jesus is passing by. Then we have the crowd. I like to refer to the crowd as a kind of example of some of our church members and our church people. Our attitude is, now we want to reach certain class of people, but we want to say, no, we want to reach everybody. But when we look at our activities and what we're doing, we find ourselves kind of favoring certain types of people in our community and around the world. And those who are in great need, we have a tendency today, and rightly so, to a point, because we've been taught this, not by God, but by our peers and others around about us, that let somebody else take care of them. And that's what our government has ended up doing. You know, the welfare programs in our government are great, and praise God, we've got some and can help and work with people. But be honest with you, that's the job of the church. We're to help those who are in need. God wants to help them, and we're to do that. And God blesses us in a tremendous way, and yet we have a tendency to kind of shun that a little bit. So may we learn something from this event in the life of the ministry of Jesus. Now, we have the actions that's involved in that. If you'll notice now in our text of Mark chapter 10 and verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, whatever he heard, he knew that he could find help in Jesus. Just what can we find in the Lord? Now, we know that he's lost, so he needs salvation. Is there salvation in Jesus? Or is there salvation in other things that we might can do in our works? Or maybe what we might find around us. Is there salvation in other things? Well, keep your finger there in Mark and turn, if you will, in your Bibles to John chapter 14, a familiar passage. And many of you will be recognize it as you get there. John chapter 14, Jesus talks about he leaving the disciples, and he talks about heaven. And he tells them that in my Father's house are many mansions. What a blessing we have of looking forward to that which is in the future. Well, how do you get there? Thomas was wanting to know that. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus was very clear in what he had to say to the disciples and to us and to the world. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, some people want to broaden that a little bit or change it, but it kind of soften it. Says, well, Jesus is part of the way. He's one of the ways. No, Jesus said, I am the way. There's no other way to God. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And then he said, I am the truth. And there are those who want to say, well, he's part of the truth and some of the truth. No, he's all of the truth. And when it comes to be a conflict between what Jesus is teaching, what God teaches us, and man, you can draw the correct conclusion that all men are liars. And brother, we're seeing that today. Those whom we put our trust in of our leaders, from the president all the way down to our mayors, to anybody that's in our community, and even in our churches, we're finding that they're not always telling the truth in that. Jesus is the truth. And if you want to know the truth, then you need to come to Jesus and be in that. And then he said, I am the life. He's not part of the life or some of the life. If you want to have life and have it more abundantly, you're going to have to go through Jesus. Now, how do we know that what I've just said is the right interpretation of that passage? You might say, well, preacher, that's the way you look at it on there, but we could interpret it another way. No, you cannot. I can tell you that because Jesus assures us of just how this is to go. So look at that verse again, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, did you get that? No man, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. Now, Bartimaeus knew that he could have help through Jesus of Nazareth. And he knew and believed that this could be a benefit to him. And he began to cry out and wanting this help. Then we look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As we think about the help that we have from Jesus, we could spend hours talking about all of the help and the different type of help that we can have. Any need that you or anyone else might have, we find it in Jesus. We find in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, Colossians 2 and verse 6, the Bible tells us, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through a philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now notice verse 9. For in him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Whatever we need, whatever we're missing, we find it in Jesus. We're complete in him. And yet, not only the world, but even some of God's people will look in other things. They will go to books, and they're great and good. They will go to philosophers, and some of them have some good wisdom and all. But I want to tell you something. They cannot even be compared with what God offers you and what we have in Jesus. The more you learn about Jesus, the more you're involved in the life of Jesus, the more you'll become complete in everything that you need, in knowledge, in feeling and emotions, physically and spiritually. Bartimaeus knew that there was something in Jesus that he could have, and he wanted that. And so go back to our text as we look at that. And verse 48. And many charged him when Bartimaeus was crying out, asking Jesus to stop by. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He said, now don't bother the master. Don't bother Jesus. You know, we don't actually say that to others, hold your peace. We don't say that to the lost, don't come. We want to invite them, and we try to invite them to come and to be with us. But what is our attitude? You know, I'm thankful for this church, the friendliness that is here. And not only do we have individuals who have been doing it down through the years, as people come in to greet them and make them feel welcome, and that this is a place that God can help them. But even we have made an organization, and where that we have set in motion that we want people out encouraging and helping and making others feel welcome so that none fall through the crack. You know, it's a joy to allow the love of God and the compassion of God flow through us, to give a friendly handshake, to give a smile to someone. And many times, and I run into them, as you have, and even here in the church, as they'd come to the service, they're burdened down with burdens, and I walk to them and with a smile on my face and glad to see you, and they're, you don't know what's going on in my life, is what comes out of that grunt that is there, and wondering what to do. They need that encouragement. They don't need someone to tell them, well, you're not dressed properly, or what are you doing here? And on we would go. The crowd didn't want them to bother Jesus. Well, what was Jesus' attitude about that? Notice in the next verse, in verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Think about that. Now, Jesus has a lot to do in his ministry. He is now developing the local churches, his bride. He's got to train the disciples. He's got to train the apostles. And man, he has a lot to do involved in this. And get the word out and to do all that God would have him do. And then to explain to the people what he's about to do on Calvary. In that he would lay down his life for our sins. He would take the punishment for our sins. Be buried and raised again the third day. And all of this, Jesus stood still. And thinking about a child trying to understand God, and as well as adults on that, when I think about of all the people in this world, scattered all over the face of this earth, we have a lot of Christians that are scattered all over this world, missionaries and others in other parts of the world, and how that at times when things begin to become very serious and deadly, such as what's going on in Israel now, what's going on in the Ukraine and other parts of the world and all that's going there, you've got a lot of prayers going up to heaven. And especially on the Lord's Day, at various times of where you're at in the country, some of them's already had their worship on the first day of the week. They had it yesterday. Some of them will have it tomorrow in that. We're having it today. But on those days, think about all the prayers that are coming before God. And God's not too busy for not any of them. Everyone is very important, and he stands still to listen to your prayers and the prayers of others as if you were the only one. Man, I'm always impressed when I read that Jesus stood still. And then we find he commanded him to be called. He commanded him to be called. Now, right away, you'll think of Matthew chapter 28 and that word that God has given us the command to go into all the world. Look at Mark chapter. We find here where Jesus commands us. We find in the Gospels that we're to go to every creature in the world. We know that. Why are we doing it? Today we have so many opportunities of reaching out to a lost, dying world. We have so many opportunities right here in Ada. And I thank God for what God is doing in this church and reaching out to everyone in our society. And man, what's going on Monday nights is just a tremendous blessing of God. You can feel God's love and compassion reaching out. And then what happens throughout the week and other activities that's going on, not just with those who might have a great need physically, but those who have needs spiritually. Let God open your eyes that you might realize the opportunities that before you to touch the life of someone else. Let God touch them through you. God will stand still, and sometimes we need to learn to stand still and let God use us, let God bless us, let God just love someone through us. Well, as he stood still, and well, I'll tell you what, let's look at a particular invitation. I like Matthew, and I like Mark and some of the others, but turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. The last book, the last chapter of the Bible. God closes this tremendous book that he's given us, the Bible, his holy word, to help us to understand and to grow and to know all that God would have us to know. And in Revelation chapter 22, look at verse 17. In verse 17, the Bible teaches us the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The invitation is for everyone. Now, can only a preacher give that invitation? No. Notice it says the Spirit and the bride. That's talking about the Holy Spirit has been given to us, the local church, as the bride of Christ, to empower us to be able to tell others about Jesus. We really can't do that ourselves, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, as we sung a while ago, there's power in the blood. I've got news for you. There's power in the Holy Spirit to touch the life of someone else with the good news that Jesus loves them. And God wants to help you. He wants to meet your needs where you are, and He will do that. That invitation is for all of us to give, and we're to do that as church members. Definitely, as children of God, we're to give the good word. And then he says in that verse, let him that heareth say, come. Well, they're not Christians, and they're kind of talking about God. Turn them loose. If we're not going to do the job, God will just have others to do it as well. And there are those who mock God. But you know what? God uses that mockery to touch hearts and lives of individuals. I've shared with you before when I was in the military and was coming back off of spend the day in Japan. And in our engine room where I was stationed in that part, everybody had a coffee mug, a cup. And it was specially designed. They'd go over and have all kinds of pictures and things put on them, and some of the pictures weren't appropriate and very ungodly in that. Well, I went over and I had two cups made, and they didn't put them in a sack. They wrapped them up where you could tell that they were two cups, and they were big coffee cups. And so as I was standing little boat that was taking us over, it was a flat bottom boat, for those of you that know not much about military or the Navy and that. And so there wasn't any rooms or seats, and we was all standing there. Well, there was a sailor that was pretty drunk. And I had been witnessing to him and trying to get him to realize his need and find his need in Christ. He saw me standing there holding those wrapped coffee mugs. And he just lit up. Oh, the preacher's got him some cups. He thought I had some with some lewd pictures on there or something else that matched the rest of them on there. And he came over and proceeded to take those cups out of my hand, unwrap them, and he would hold them up and begin to read them. There was a picture of a woman on that cup. Oh, he thought, he got the preacher now. He looked at it and he said, who is Jackie? Well, that was my wife. I had the Chinese people, as they were drawing it, I gave them a photo of my wife and had that picture painted on there. He turned it around quickly. For God so loved the world, he began to read. And he read John 3:16. He quieted down, put the cups back in my hands, and walked away. When we got to the ship, and as I was going down the hallway, the passageway as we'd call it, another sailor was trying to catch up with me, and he said, wait a minute, I want to talk to you. He said, I heard the chief read what was on your cups. And he said, does God really love us? You see, that drunken sailor, in mockery, opened the eyes of another young man that was there. Let him that heareth say, come. And I was able to lead that young man to Christ. God wants everyone to hear. The invitation is open. And then he says, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Aren't you glad that it's for everyone? And that we need to just let the love of God flow through us. Let that invitation flow through you wherever you might be, whatever you might be doing, whether it's at your work, whether it's at school, whether you're shopping, doesn't matter what it is. Just let God give that invitation through him. Well, Jesus stood still and he commanded for Bartimaeus to come to him. The others began then with that encouragement. And you know, when you begin to do what God would have you do, you're going to have that encouragement and give that encouragement to others to do the same thing. And so they began to echo that and they said, be of good comfort, he calleth for thee. And then notice verse 50. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. He cast away his garments, rose, and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus didn't want his life anymore. He was willing to forsake all that he had. Now, we wouldn't think anything about this beggar casting away his garment. I mean, it's filthy and dirty. He probably used it to sleep on as well as to keep him warm and all. But that was something that he really needed. You know, he just can't go out and buy whatever he wants to on that. This is what he had to protect him from the elements of the world, and what there was something that he had that was his. But he was willing to forsake all that he had to repent of his old life and find something different in Jesus. And this is the key to the whole thing. Whether a person be lost or whether it be a child of God that wandered away, God calls for us. And he wants us to repent of our way of living and live the way that God wants us to live, that we find in the scriptures and that the Holy Spirit deals with us in this. We're to cast away our garments. Now, we might have some garments that are better than what a beggar might have. We might have some things in this world that we've worked real hard for. We have a nice home. We have a nice automobile or other things that we might cherish that we have and are proud to have that on it. Are you willing to really repent of your life and do what God would have you to do? He left his garments there. When we think about that, turn to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. Now, remember, Jesus is going about teaching, and he has a ministry to perform. He's not a wealthy person by earthly means. Joseph wasn't a wealthy man. He was a carpenter. And as far as Mary and the rest of them, they were probably just existing and get along. Jesus didn't have a lot of money and say, well, I've got a big bank account here and I can take care of whoever comes along with me. No, everybody was on their own. And as he walks along in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, amending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed them. Now, we normally look at that and say, man, what a blessing. These men, willing to follow Jesus. But do you know what they really did? They left their business. They left their means of taking care of their family, the livelihood for their family. And it wasn't a matter of Jesus said, now you come and follow me and I'll give you a better job. I'm going to give you more pay than what you're making there as fishermen or dealing with it. No, they were willing, whatever the cost, to leave it. For you see, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Look at it in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. A familiar passage, but notice it again. In the matter of finding what we need in God, Bartimaeus was ready to forsake all that he had and to follow in that. So was Matthew and Andrew and James and John, willing to leave their business and trust God and that God would take care of them. In Isaiah 64 and verse 6, but we are all as unclean things and all our righteousness. Now, we can think of the beggar, his robe's not worth keeping. He needs to get rid of that. It's dirty and probably worn. No, all of our righteousness, what we might think is great and best, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and all our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Are we willing to leave all that we have and to follow Jesus? In John chapter 4 and verse 25, John chapter 4 and verse 25. We find a scene that is a very touching scene. Jesus goes to an area of the country that is very difficult for Jews to go to. They're very prejudiced, racial prejudice, the Samaritans and of this area. And Jesus went there. The disciples went into, they stopped at a well, at Jacob's well. The disciples went in town to buy some meat, and Jesus was there. During the heat of the day, a woman comes out to draw some water. Now, this is not the normal place that the women would come at that time of the day. They usually come in the cool of the morning or in the evening. But she couldn't do that because of her life. Her life was messed up. She had been married a number of times. And now she was living with a man that she wasn't even married to and was a disgrace. And as she came to the well and saw Jesus sitting there, knowing that he was a Jew, and he began to inquire of her of drawing some water. And she first questioned, "Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan." And then they got into a conversation, all that was going on. The love of Jesus began to flow through all of those barriers. And he told her about the everlasting water. And so we come to that part in verse 25 of John chapter 4. And the woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And upon this came his disciples, marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, "Why seekest thou," or "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And when they went out to the city, and they went out of the city and came unto him. And as you read the rest of the story, many came to trust Christ as their Savior because of the testimony of this woman. She left her water pot. She left that which was given her life of water to drink and was putting her trust and faith in God, in Jesus. Do we have that type of faith? Are we willing to really step out and trust God? We usually make a token of that, say, "Well, yeah, I'll make a profession of faith and I'll ask God to forgive me and to save me by the blood of Jesus." But are we really trusting him with all of our life? Are we willing to lay our life completely on the line and let God change us and let God use us? If you would have said to this woman, "Now, we want you to go in town and have a campaign to bring people out here to see Jesus," she said, "Not me." You picked the wrong person in that. You know, you said the same thing. God wants you to do something. You said, "Not me. You need to get somebody else in that." Oh, to turn loose and just trust God. Let him change your life. Let him use you in ways that is beyond our imagination. Bartimaeus left his garment. Will we leave what we think we have and trust God with what he wants to do with us and give to those of you that were here this morning? Heard our youth and the testimony that was there. I was impressed with one young lady. She was willing to leave all. She didn't know what she could do or what God wanted her to do, but whatever it was, she was open to that. You remember the time when you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You were willing to do that. But something happened between then and now. Well, I know you still love God, but we need to come back to that place where we're willing to trust God with everything we have, with our very existence, that others might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Not only that, but you'll find your life will become complete in him. And then in our text of Mark chapter 10, Jesus does something that you kind of wonder about. If you'll notice that now in Mark chapter 10, verse 51, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What will that I should do unto thee?" Think about that. Here's a man begging. He's blind. Now, there's a lot of things that could be done for that man. And Jesus said, What do you want me to do for you? Well, some of us might say, "Well, Lord, give me a better home. Give me some better clothes. Set up a trust fund for me so that I can be able to buy food and all in the days to come." And we'd think about some material things. But the blind man didn't ask for them. Now, why did Jesus ask that question? It's obvious what the man needed. He needed help. But Jesus wanted the blind man to realize his real need. When we come to God with our burdens, we're not to ask for a blank check. He wants us to recognize our need in our life. We're not going to repent of that which is tearing us apart unless we recognize what it is. If we try to excuse it, try to ignore it, we're not going to find the help that we need. This blind man realized what he needed. And so in this, we find that Jesus wanted him to state his need. Notice that the blind man said to him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Think about that. Oh, it'd be great to be able to see again. But now, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to see or not. I'll have to go to work. I'll have to get out and do some things if I can see. Whereas all these years now, I've never done a thing. I don't know a trade or anything else. No, he said, "I want to see and take my place of responsibility." Are you willing for God to open your eyes and see what God will do through you and with you in this old world that needs a great touch from God, and lives that need a touch from God? And so the blind man confessed his sins. "I need to see." Are we willing to confess our sins? Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible is very clear in telling us, "But if we walk in the light," 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, "but if we walk in the light," that's the teachings of God, "as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Whether if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to come and realize you need God's help. You need to recognize the sin that is destroying your life. The wages of sin is death. And be willing to find help and forgiveness through our Heavenly Father. Jesus paid the price for our sins that we could have forgiveness. Those of you who are children of God, you've gone astray. You're not faithful like you know you should be. You're not doing what you know God wants you to do. Will you recognize your sin and confess that before God? And let God use you in a way that can turn this world upside down for Christ. There's hope. There's hope. Just as spoken this morning. Oh, the hope we have through God. When we're willing to recognize where we are and that which is in our lives and be willing to repent of that and to trust God and let him change us. And notice the result of that in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 52. "And Jesus said to him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Now get all that is said there. Jesus told him to go his way. "Your faith hath made you whole." I don't believe the blind man saw first. I believe he took a step first. And when he took that step, he could see. When we're willing to step out in faith and follow God and obey God, then our lives are going to be changed. Now, he didn't say, Jesus told him, said, "Now, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go thy way." But do you know what the blind man did? He said he followed Jesus in the way. Repentance means we change from our way of living and live the way God wants us to live. Society, our peers and all, are not the authority in our lives any longer. Now we let God be the authority in our lives. We follow His beat. We march to His call. We obey His voice. And when we do, not only will we be complete in Christ, but we find that God will touch the lives of others. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, you're very familiar with that, but let me just read it to you again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, the Bible tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then the next verse that we don't quote as often as we do those two verses, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Will you walk by faith? Will you trust God by faith? I tell you, the joy of serving God by faith. Now that means He's having you do something that you have no idea how to do it. He's having you do something that you have no idea of how it's going to turn out, except God says do it, and it doesn't seem right to you. Stepping out in that faith and seeing what God does when you step out in that faith is an exciting life to live. Man, it's been exciting down through these years. Had no idea that I'd ever be in Oklahoma, for sure, much less Ada. But God not only led me here many years ago, but brought me back here. Just stepping out in faith. And the joy, the excitement of it. Everything that we do and that God wants us to do multiplies and grows. I had no idea of being an internet missionary. In fact, I never heard of an internet missionary until God began to develop the work. And as it grew and grew, and then realized of how God would love and touch the lives of people. And I thought it would be kind of remote through an internet missionary. But then He developed the programs of Skype and others that where we have a personal touch and relationship with lives. I had a lady send me an email from Canada. She said, I was just going in circles with my life. Didn't know what to do. And said, I was on the internet and I was just surfing through and I came to your website. And I felt comfortable. And I began to read some of your studies in that. And then she said, I went to the plan of salvation that you have, looked at the video, saw the animation of it, and realized that I needed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And she said, when I repented of my sins and asked God to forgive me and to save me by Jesus, I could feel God's arms just hugging me. She says, I have a purpose now. And she said, thank you for having a website. You see, God can take something that would be cold and remote and make it very personal in the lives of others. I had no idea. But when I step out in faith, not only what to do, but Lord, I can't afford it. Oh my, that doesn't even enter my thought anymore. He has provided in ways that's just beyond my imagination. And that will happen in every area of your life, whether it be in your job, whether it be in your school. These young people that were here this morning that was touched at Falls Creek, they're challenged to go wherever they are in their sports and their schools and all their activities and be that witness and testimony. What an opportunity for us to support them and encourage them as well as our own selves. Let God use us, whether we're in a nursing home, as I mentioned earlier, we're setting up a Skype class in the Sterling House, a rest home, and for one of our church members to be able to attend our class, and he'll be able to talk to the men in it. In talking to him about this, Kenneth Elkins is who it is. There were two others that said, I want to be in that. And there'll be others the same way. You have no idea what God can use you where you are in developing Bible studies and touching lives of individuals. Are we willing to walk by faith? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, that familiar passage once again, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The joy, the excitement, the thrill of walking by faith and seeing what God is doing. Will you step out in that? Bartimaeus was tired of his old life of darkness. He is willing to forsake and go. Aren't you tired of that old life of darkness, of sin, fear, no hope? Why not forsake that what you have and turn to God and let him touch your life and let him use you and follow him in the way? God has spoken to your heart tonight. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to it. It could be God has spoken to your heart and touched your heart that you need to intercede in prayer for a lost soul right now. He's placed a name on your heart and you need to come and bring that to the altar. We're going to want you to do that. It could be that you need to forsake some things in your life. Will you do that and let God use you? It could be you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Jesus died on the cross that you might have forgiveness of your sins. And God said he'd forgive you of your sins if you're willing to believe that he died for you, was buried and raised again the third day. And if you'll pray and ask God to forgive you through the blood of Jesus, he'll do exactly that. And not only will he forgive you of your sins, but you will be born again, become a child of God. You'll have a new life to live. That's exciting. That can be yours right now during the invitation. If that's your decision, will you come and make that? We'll be glad to explain it more to you if you need it or to help you in that. It could be there are other decisions that you need.